distract from the other smells. As they crossed one large, featureless room, Lannery began to hear the sounds of a city. Beyond the room, a short walk to a doorway. And then they were out of the repaired zone and standing on the rise of a hill at the inner edge of the dome, looking out across the vast, filthy, yet wondrous vista of Greenwood Station.
Whoa!
Tree breathed beside her, and in that one word, Lannery was certain he had never actually been here. She almost said the same. A couple of kilometers distant was the massive central tower upon which the graceful, curved structural ribs of the dome rested. Its dark facade glinted with countless lights that Lannery assumed were windows, and larger openings might have been launch bays for the small airships that drifted back and forth through the confined space. Beyond that, just visible in the hazy distance, she could make out the far wall almost 8 kilometers away. Buildings crowded the ground all across the dome. Roads trailed here and there, and in a few places, wide open areas that might once have been parks seemed now to act as refuse dumps, with broken machinery or useless spare parts piled in reckless abandon. Fires burned on these dumps, and smoke from the conflagrations was being sucked up by mobile air cleansers, floating machines that vented to the outside via long, flexible pipes. Elsewhere, more solid chimneys rose and pierced the dome. There were hundreds of chimneys, and all were illuminated with bright neon strips. There seemed to be no relevance to the color of light used. Greens, blues, reds, yellows, harsh whites. The whole aerial part of the dome was lit garishly, and perhaps beautifully. The sight shocked Lannery, and for a moment she felt a lifting of her heart. But the true purpose of this place became obvious when she examined the buildings, roads, and storage structures more closely. She drew a small, powerful telescope from the discreet utility belt she wore beneath her robe and held it to her right eye. At the foot of the slope they stood on was an open area used to park military vehicles. They looked newly made. Some were large and cumbersome, bearing heavy guns and massive spiked wheels. Others were sleek and small, designed for infiltration rather than full-on attack. A few bore bulbous shells on their backs, inside which would be balloons ready for rapid inflation to lift the craft out of harm's way. Many ran on wheels, others on segmented tracks, and some were equipped with repulsor units that would enable them to glide and float just above the ground. Farther away, the factories began.
"Busy place," Tree said.
His voice was high and loaded with shock.
"Where's the demand? I mean, for all this? It's like they're readying for war."
"There's always demand," Lannery said. "Some of Shikalkwa's crime barons can never have enough hardware. Kalamar has its needs. And there are places on Skogora that even the Jedi don't know much about. Someone's always readying for war." Factories churned and roared, rumbled and throbbed. A gray haze hung in the air, even though countless chimneys vented the steam and poisonous gases caused by this endless heavy manufacturing to the toxic outside atmosphere. Trains trundled on tracks along the center of wide thoroughfares, high wagons packed with raw materials or finished hardware. 3 kilometers from where they stood, one train passed into a tunnel that must lead outside. It seemed that, though cut off by the result of the war, Greenwood Station was still very much involved in import and export. Maintenance drones buzzed through the air, and Lannery noticed that there was a huge amount of construction work going on. Some buildings were being extended or repaired, while others were being torn down, materials salvaged and set aside for new buildings. The noise from this work was a constant background rumble, and even from here, she could see at least 5 locations where major construction was underway. But impressive though the sight was, her mind was already working on the problem at hand. Greenwood Station was almost 40 square kilometers of industrial buildings, living quarters, storage warehouses, spaceports, and other built-up areas. Whether or not Dale and his stargazers were already here, the task of finding them seemed immense.
"Ringwood petals," Tree said.
He breathed in deeply.
What? Can't you smell it on the air?
Beneath everything else, the scent of ringwood petals.
They must pump it into the air to overcome the stench. It's a flowering shrub from Kalamar.
Beautiful.
You like flowers, Lannery said, voice flat.
Doesn't everyone?
Tree was becoming more of an enigma to her, not less. She had the sudden urge to ask about his history, his family and ties, get his true story out of him.
You know people here, she said. You've done business here, so you know people.
Like I told you, I've never been myself.
That's not a denial.
Tree looked uncomfortable. His leku waved and touched, until he remembered that she could read them, and he brought them under control. But his red face seemed to shine redder than ever, and she saw shame rather than anger.
What?
She asked.
The people I dealt with here? They're not nice.
I wouldn't expect them to be. Tree looked away and nodded absently, as if conversing with himself. He frowned. Then he looked back to Lannery and seemed to have made a decision.
Don't judge me, he said.
She raised an eyebrow in surprise. He didn't seem like someone who cared what people thought about him.
I mean it, he said. I'll take you to someone if I can find him, but he's unsavory.
Compared to you? Lannery asked, immediately wishing she hadn't. Tree had done nothing in her eyes to deserve that.
Compared to him, I'm a space angel. He's a scumhead. And whether he helps or not, please don't judge me by his company.
I won't, Lannery said. But why do you think I need your help?
Why else did you bring me along?
Tree's confident smile returned, and Lannery was surprised by how pleased she was to see it.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.